Public domain comic book theater.
Hello, kiddies. Your old pal the horror host decided to get away from it all for a bit and relax in this nice, boggy, slimy, alligator-infested, smelly swamp. You'd think they'd have chosen a nicer place for locations shooting. I mean, there's monsters and murder and mayhem in Saint-Tropez or somewhere, but enough of that. We're here for yet another little story about how man shouldn't mess with nature, and how nature will make a mess of you. Tell me, my children, can you stand up to the monster of the bayou? Ow. Ow. Oh, man, I thought the swamp air would be good for me. Can any organism, once dead, return to the realm of the living? It was the contention of Professor Wilhelmina Eckerling that it could, provided the proper stimulation was administered. To explore this theory, she set up her laboratory with her capable assistant, Eileen Thorne, in the lonely, quiet, undisturbed Louisiana bayou.
Morning, ladies. I'm Ken Langdon, Sheriff of Beaumont. Heard you moving in and thought you could use a hand.
Why, that's very thoughtful of you.
No trouble. Here, let me carry that crate of chemicals.
Why, thank you. Put it over by the kitchen.
Yes, we have little time to waste, Mr. Langdon, and we're managing nicely enough, thank you.
You picked an ideal place to work, provided you're not afraid of the ghost of Captain Fairrock.
Ghosts? What nonsense is this?
Old Captain Fairrock was buried somewhere around here. People scared to come out here at night. Some even claim they've seen the old boy's spirit wandering around.
Ridiculous.
Well, gotta amble along. Don't fail to call on me if you ever need help.
Finally settled, Professor Eckerling begins her experiments over the next few weeks.
Reaction is positive. I know it'll work now, but I can't explain how or what side effects it'll have.
The only thing to do is to test it, Professor.
Measurements must be exact.
I'm breathless with anticipation. It must work.
Stay alert. I want you to take accurate notes. Now, to inject this into the bird's main artery.
Injection at 10:47 p.m. When do you think we'll see the results, ma'am?
I can't say for sure. Miss Thorne, sterilize these instruments before our subject expresses any noticeable results.
As Eileen went through the sterilization process, there's a sudden clouding of the light. A rush of air and a heavy pounding drew their attention.
Right! God! What a monster! Where'd it come from?
It's hideous!
Watch out for those claws! Get down on the floor!
It's the most ferocious bird I've ever seen! Look out! It's flying right into the lights!
Must have caused a short circuit and been electrocuted!
How did that horrible thing get in here?
Run and get some candles, Eileen! I guess our experiment is ruined. Monster must have flown in through the window and gobbled up the specimen.
But that's impossible. The window's closed and so is the door. That specimen! It must be that...
Yes! That's it! That tiny dead bird in this immense thing! That's the answer to my question about side effects! We must preserve the serum.
But the serum must be kept chilled, and with that short circuit, our refrigerator's off.
Wait a moment. Sheriff Langdon said he'd do us a favor. Hurry. You must get to him and refrigerate the serum. It'll It'll be a boon to science.
Urgently, Eileen sped through the menacing bayou towards Beaumont. In her haste, she fails to notice a protruding root from one of the gigantic cypress trees along the path.
The serum! Oh, my head. What's that shaking?
As the creature rises, Eileen comes to the quick realization that fate has brought her to the hidden grave of the legendary pirate, Captain Farrakh, and the serum's potency is proved once more.
Ah! I've got to get back. This thing must be 14 feet tall. I hope Professor Eckerling has a gun.
Shiver me timbers.
Thank goodness I can outdistance that thing. He's too clumsy for speed.
Eileen races back to the laboratory and hurriedly relates her story.
Oh, calm down, Eileen. Your imagination's been playing tricks on you.
But I saw it. We've got to get out of here. Get to Beaumont. No! There it is!
Where? Damn it. Knocked over the candle. Can't see a thing.
Can't you see? It's not some imaginary thing. It's a monster of a man, at least 14 feet tall. We've got to...
No, I'm staying here. I'm surprised at you.
You fool! You've seen what that serum can do. I've got to get help. I just hope that monster doesn't get to the professor. But will Ken doubt me also?
Of course Ken will doubt you, Eileen. After all those stories concerning the ghost.
That's a new twist. From a ghost to a monster 14 feet tall?
Oh, I give up.
I'll take you back, Miss Thorne. Any man be a fool to resist walking in the moonlight with you.
Just please take a gun. Can't we move a little faster? If that thing gets to Professor Eckerling before we do, it'll kill her.
It's not safe running through the bayous in the dark. Wait, listen.
As Langdon raised his flashlight, a welcome sight greeted their eyes.
Professor!
Forgive me for doubting you, Eileen. I saw the monster. It's alive just like you described. But we mustn't harm it. Whatever it is, it's proof I'm on the right track. We can capture it in some way.
I'm beginning to believe you, but it's dangerous. We can't just let it roam around.
Don't be a fool, Sheriff. Few lives mean little compared to such a scientific discovery. We must...
There it is!
If you understand, keep back or I'll fire.
In the name of science, no!
Professor, get out of the way!
I have a responsibility to folks in Beaumont. It's either this thing
you
or...
You can't!
It's almost upon us. Ken, shoot!
I keep hitting it, but it doesn't stop coming. Run!
It's still following us. Where are we heading?
We can't head back to town. It'll destroy anything it gets its hands on.
Did you kill it?
No. Seems to furious the bullets. I'm trying to lead it deeper into the bayou to lose it.
What'll happen if we can't shake it?
We may be stuck out here ourselves. I don't want to worry you with that thought. Wait. I think I might have a way to save ourselves. There's a new damming project not far from here, and they're using dynamite for excavation. Powerful enough explosion should do the trick.
I won't let you do it! I won't!
Don't be a fool!
That monster is sure to kill us if you try stopping us!
With the sound of heavy treads crushing through the thicket underfoot, the trio races onward until...
I'm about worn out. Wait. The shack with the dynamite is locked.
Stand back. I'll shoot it off. There, it's off.
Hoist the sails.
He's coming closer. We have to work fast.
Look over there.
I told you I wouldn't let you kill him, you young fools. I'll reason with him. He'll understand.
Come back.
He'll crush you.
It's no use. She's a fanatic.
Swiftly, Professor Eckerling approached the creature as it moved through the murk of the bayous.
Listen to me. You must understand. They want to kill you, but I want to save you. You are inestimable value to science. Can you understand? Unhand me. I created you, brought you back from the dead.
For an instance, the monster hesitated, confused by being faced by a being unafraid of him. But then...
Stop! I'm trying to save you! Stop! Stop!
Where's my parrot?
Why didn't you try to stop her?
Look, I tried to reason with her.
The sheriff squares off with his bundle of dynamite.
There, it's lit. That monster should crash through any moment.
There it is!
Everything depends on this throw. Hurry, behind the shack!
For a moment, a blazing set of sparks carve a trail through the air.
You hurt?
It's all my fault. The professor would still be alive if I hadn't been so clumsy and tripped.
Don't blame yourself. She was a fanatic, trying to reason with that monster. It was suicide. Come on, Aline. I'll take you back to Beaumont.
Well, wasn't that exciting, chillins? Of course, Ken tried to persuade Aline to marry him and make a life for herself in Beaumont. But she couldn't stand being bogged down. Oh, man, I need to switch to vaping. That's it for tonight, boils and ghouls. Join us next time for yet another eerie epic designed to make you scared and mess your underwear. Until next time. Remember to always use insect repellent, sleep under mosquito netting, and stay inside the public domain.
've been listening to Monster of the Bayous, adapted by Thomas DJ and performed by the Akadekagonagon Theater Works. Monster of the Bayous was based on the story featured in the Ace comic The Hand of Fate number 8. Published in 1951, drawn by Mike Sikowski with inks by Vic Alessia, and is in the public domain. If you enjoyed this story, it and many other comic books in the public domain are available at comicbookplus.com. Please visit and support them. Please visit the OTW at akadekagonagon.blogspot.com for news on upcoming and current projects. Until next time, good night!
Brought to you tonight by Funzy Soda Pop, gaily colored caffeinated sugar water that makes kids jump around, and by Ready Freddy from More Toys, the perfect jerk boyfriend for all your dolls. Now with special whining sounds. Ready Freddy, only from More. The more you want, the more you'll want more toys.
Science doesn't move slowly. It takes leaps, eating up years of advancement every time it leaves the ground. And every leap takes hard work, not only from the innovators, but from the innovators' employees. Someone has to watch the samples, hold the beakers, get the coffee, and recoil from the monsters. That's where I come in. I hold a degree in mad science from the Polidori Institute of Inconceivable Advancement and Technology, with a minor in sane science. I was going to go for a master's, maybe the big DR, but student loans are punishing, and I had a psychiatrist and two sweater manufacturers to support. I am Aline Thorne, freelance lab assistant. don't like these assignments where I have to interview. I did all the interviewing I cared to when I signed up with my agents at Eureka Temporary Innovations. But the thing to understand about mad sciencing is that you don't devote yourself to it unless you're a little eccentric to begin with. And when your brain cells are a little loose, you don't trust professionals who assure them you're legit. That's when I have to put on my nicest lab coat and my sciencing shoes and find the balance between warm and friendly and serious and high-minded.
Who is it? What do you want?
Dr. March? Eureka sent me. I have the paperwork here.
Ooh, come in.
Thank you. That's a rather heavy hoodie you have on, Doctor.
It gets cold. Old house. Lots of drafts.
What are you expecting me to do during this assignment, Doctor?
You seem anxious. This job must be important to you.
Science is always important to me, Dr. March. That's why I chose to be in the field.
Instead of the safety of academia.
Exactly.
Excuse me. I must lock this outside door. The wind, you see, it might blow open. I don't like wind.
It seems quite sturdy to me. Heavy, even. I don't see how...
Won't you sit, miss? I have something shocking to show you.
It takes a lot to shock me. Although, I can see how you're having no... flesh on your face could be shocking.
Only on my skull and limbs are affected. Otherwise, I'm quite normal.
Looking on the bright side. That's great.
Are you ready to take notes?
Of course I was ready. Note-taking is sometimes 90% of the work for a lab assistant. You'd think they'd learn about digital recorders, but there you go. Dr. March led me to her basement laboratory. Never, never trust a doctor who keeps a lab in his or her basement.
What do you think of this? Modern in every respect.
The place was very up-to-date in the technology aspect, but I wasn't keen on the early mold motif. What sort of research are you involved in here, Doctor?
Flesh transference.
What?
Please, don't struggle. I am extraordinarily strong.
You... made your point.
That's better. You'll be more cooperative, unconscious.
Flesh transference.
Ah, you're back.
I was strapped to a table. Special plates holding up my arms. Never trust a doctor who has straps and special plates on their table. But then you probably figured that out.
Try to think of this as a worthy cause.
I think Eureka's contracts include a no experimenting on our employees clause.
Huh. It'll be easier to tell yourself you're advancing science.
What is this then? Cybernetic implants? Super soldier serum? Genetic tampering? Feral regression? I've heard it all.
It's just an exchange.
Please tell me it's of gifts.
I just want your face and your hands. And your arms.
And I see you are mad.
I'm not mad at all.
I mean nuts.
Oh, I'm not that either. Now, I have to ask you to be quiet. I have measurements to take, and they must be infinitesimally accurate.
This is one of the occupational hazards of lab assisting. I know most people would panic and scream and beg for their life, or I guess their limbs and face in this case, but I've learned otherwise. You focus beyond the fear. You start observing your surroundings, taking note of anything, no matter how small, to turn them to your advantage.
Wonderful. This will take less time than I dared hope for. Can't make a single error. I've been waiting for this opportunity for all these torturous years.
Not surprisingly, being a mad scientist, my captor was a little careless when it came to waving about tubes and beakers. That was my way out of this. Dr. March had spent so much time binding my arms, she neglected to bind my legs. And if I was right, Judging from the colors in the tube she was holding and the beaker on top of the nearby Bunsen burner, I had my way out. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm not even frightened. Hurry up and get this over with. I just hope you have more luck with this kisser than I did.
What a strange attitude.
Oops! Just as I thought. The chemicals in the test tube Dr. March was carrying and the solution for the beaker interacted negatively with the Bunsen burner's flame to create a volatile reaction. And most of the time, that's all you really need. Of course, the problem is you never know what that reaction will net you.
What? Help me!
Can't do that if I'm all wrapped up, can't I? Just follow my voice! Let me free before, you know, the house burns down! This is a virtue here, Doctor, so... Dr. March?
Yes?
Your face! Your arms, they're... restored. You're beautiful.
Why, thank you.
Maybe you should free me so we could get out of here? If I know my mad science, this place is gonna blow.
I'll never know how I achieved this. The explosion destroyed everything.
Soul searching later. Escape now. Come with me.
You'd help me? After what I almost did?
I'm a lab assistant. Helping is part of the job.
Let it burn. I've been a prisoner of this house for what seems like forever. I want to start a new life.
And I think I've got just the place to start, Dr. March.
Please, call me Letta.
The nice thing about mad science is that new scientists enter the field every day, so there's lots of opportunity for lab assistants and lackeys. While my new friend, Letta, had boundless scientific knowledge and a desire to leave experimenting behind, it seems she'd be a perfect fit for Eureka.
With your experience, Miss March, I am sure I can find work for you immediately, if not sooner.
Florence, Flory to her friends, is my agent. She lines up my assignments. I'd like to say she gives me the best ones, but you just saw what I went through there.
Thank you. I look forward to taking a back seat from now on. Let other people explore the nether reaches of knowledge, like Eileen here. I'll just take notes.
Welcome to the team.
Flory, what was the idea sending me there? It could have ended up a lot differently if I didn't think so fast. If I didn't figure out the right reaction, I would have been a little... skin-deprived.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how I almost lost all the flesh on my face and arms.
I'm so sorry about that.
It's moss under the fluoroscope, Letta. Don't stress about it.
I didn't send you there.
What do you mean?
I sent you to Future Dynamic Kinetic Innovation Paradigm, Inc. to work on the quantum cloaca.
Then who sent me to... you know?
Let me look. It seems that the March assignment was given to...
Elaine.
Elaine? Who's that?
My twin sister.
You've been listening to the first chapter of The Crosscut Saw of Time, featuring Eileen Thorne, freelance lab assistant, written by Thomas DJ and performed by the Akadekaganagon Theater Works. Vanessa Van Zare was Eileen, Anna Crawford was Dr. Leta March, and Pamela Jean Agalus was Flory. Sound design was by Chris Honeywell. Music was by Jason Shaw. Please visit his site at audionautics.com. Please follow us on Twitter at Akadekaganagon and join our Facebook group for news on this and other projects. This audio play is copyright 2021 by the Akadekaganagon Theater Works and is presented through the Two True Freaks Podcast Network. Tune in next week for Chapter 2 of this serial, My Sister, My Burden.